You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church Kelowna. For more information about our church, please visit hopekelowna.ca.
The name above all names. And we come here this morning to honor you. We come to hear from you. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross, that we might have life with you, that we might know you, that we might be able to enter into your very throne room and spend time with you. So thank you for the opportunity we have to come and gather together. Thank you that we don't have to hide away, that we can be with you, we can be in community, that we don't have to stay in our homes, that we can be your people. And so I pray that as we spend time together, that we would encourage each other and that we'd hear from you this morning, God. That's my heart, that wouldn't be just me talking, but you would speak into the hearts and minds, that you prepare the way for us. So thank you for your word. Thank you for a chance to get together and pray that you'd be with us this morning. Ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And let's get to it. I love that. My name is Glenn. If you don't know who I am, I'm a small group leader here at Hope and have the opportunity to come and share. I get to be on the preaching team here, which is really great, and it's a privilege to be here. I got kids in the youth group. I got kids in the kids ministry, and it's just fun to be here. If you don't have a copy of a Bible, they actually have some guys here that can get you one, and so I'm actually going to grab one from one of you guys. Actually, I just realized, I'm like, oh, I'll just take one too. And then if you're trying to find your way, you might, if you're kind of new to the Bible, I'm going to do my best to kind of keep you on track, because this story is a little bit of a longer story that we're going to be looking at. So I'm just a guy, you know, who normally sits where you are, and I'm trying to pull this together for you, and excited to do that today. As I was preparing, I was thinking about what Meldon said a couple of weeks ago. You didn't come to hear from me, so as I prayed a few moments again, let's listen to God. I think God has something to say to you this morning. So this morning, we are in a super summer sermon series. Super summer series. I tried to say it fast, but I couldn't. Okay, today we're in this series entitled Ordinary People with an Extraordinary God. People like you and I who are filled by faith in an extraordinary God. 2 weeks ago, Meldon shared on Abel, which is a genuine faith that honors God. Last week, Meldon shared on Enoch, a genuine faith that walks with God. And just like Peter Unruh said, and we finished last week, I hope at the end of your life you can say, Jesus is still my Lord, and the Bible is still my guide. That was such a great quote. Incredible pictures of faith, faith fueled by an extraordinary God. So today, the title of my sermon is A Genuine Faith Perseveres with God. Three ways that Joseph stayed faithful. So please put your hand up if by God's grace and with God's help, you would describe yourself as faithful. How many people would say, yeah, I'm faithful? I see a few hands kind of sneaking up. Okay, that's good. By God's grace and with God's help, that's kind of whatever. And that's what my hope is for us today. God's grace would describe you as faithful, that people look at you and they'd say, oh, I see this person as faithful. And we're going to unpack that a bit of the time today. When I think about faithfulness, I was reminded of my parents. My dad, October, he was riding his pedal bike and went over the handlebars and was fully paralyzed. And through a series of events, they ended up down in Vancouver, and my mom went down to spend time with him, and they ended up in GF Strong. And through a series of events, it was a mid-spinal cord injury, it came to the place where my dad actually got, after about 6 months rehab, my dad was able to walk again with a walker, which is amazing. But when I think about faithfulness, I was reminded of my mom, who went and lived there and went almost every day to spend time with my dad, to go to the rehab sessions, to spend time with him. And my parents were married for over 50 years. And when I think about a story of faithfulness, I'm like, my mom is a faithful wife, a faithful woman. I'm very thankful to have that legacy in my family of people that show God's faithfulness. You know, at times I wish I was a little more like my parents or a little more like Joseph, persevering in their leadership, persevering in the relationships, to be a great leader like Joseph. Joseph went through some really difficult things to get there, though. Hebrews 11, verse 20, 22. So if you got your Bibles, you can pull that open. We're going to kind of put one finger in Hebrews, and one finger, actually, we're going to head into Genesis. See Hebrews 11, verse 20 to 22, if you're heading there. Hebrews 11, I love calling it the Faithful Hall of Fame. So verse 20. By faith, Isaac, invoking future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons, the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And then by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. It's interesting to notice at the end of all three of these men's lives, they were full of expectation. They were looking towards the future, towards things hoped for. At the end of Joseph's life, with all he had accomplished, having probably more resources, more money than any other Israelite before him, Joseph was not looking towards where he was. He was looking towards the promised land and towards fulfillment of God's promise about a return to Canaan. Keep in mind that other than the first 17 years, he spent his entire life in Egypt. Joseph had a deep conviction that God would bring the Israelites back to Canaan and God would help them. Looking forward to what was Moses fulfilled in the Exodus, the next Moses was his predecessor, and the Israelites from Egypt when Moses took God's people back to Canaan. But today we're focused on Joseph, and to get the whole story of Joseph, we have to turn to Genesis 37. So if you want to turn there, you can keep a finger or put a tab in the other if you want. So Genesis 37. Genesis 37 to 50, actually, is what it is. So we're going to spend our whole time today just reading this. Just kidding. Some people are listening. You can do that on your own. It actually takes about an hour to listen to the whole thing. I did that a couple times this week. And some you can do on your car ride or something. I'm more of like an exegetical preacher, and I prefer to kind of go like verse by verse by verse, but we can't do that today. It's way too big. And so kind of bear with me as I try to pull some tidbits out of here. I've decided on three ways Joseph was faithful. And you could probably say, well, Glenn, you forgot about this. And there's 10 other ways that Joseph was faithful too. And I agree, there's lots. But I today have just picked three ways Joseph stayed faithful. In some ways, when I think about the story of Joseph, if you're new to the Bible and don't know the story of Joseph, I'm going to do my best to kind of walk through the story and just have a bit of a conversation with you. If you don't know it, I hope that I can kind of track you through it. But you might get a little bit lost, and so it might be something for you to read in the future. You know, in some ways, Joseph is similar to me. Joseph was the youngest in his family with older brothers, and I'm the youngest, and I have two older brothers. Joseph was he was like a really solid guy. He loved the Lord, and I love the Lord. His dad was a little bit older when he was born, and he was described as handsome. My dad was a little bit older, and I'm handsome. Or my wife lies. This is where my path and Joseph's diverge a little bit. His older dad asked him to go to the fields and check on things. He was a farmer, and they had sheep and things like that. And this is the first place where I see Joseph as faithful. The first way Joseph stayed faithful was honoring his father. So how many, by a show of hands, would say, again, by God's grace and in his strength, you have shown honor to your father and mother? How many of you guys say that? Okay, I see some hands kind of slipping up. That's great. That's awesome. Let's read together about Joseph's faithfulness. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 37, verse 13 to 14. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. And he said to them, here I am. So he said to him, go now and see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock and bring me word. So he sent him from the valley of Hebron and he came to Shechem. I believe we learn to be faithful to God in family relationships. Being faithful to our parents, seeing our parents as faithful to their parents, teaches us how we are to be faithful to God. I feel like every picture tells a story. My parents who stood by each other through one of the most tragic parts of their whole lives. I appreciate Joseph because we can relate to him. Many of us maybe have encountered difficult family relationships. Joseph's brothers, though, make my family problems look like nothing. See, Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph dreamed that his 11 older brothers would bow down to him. I'm sure there was no fights over that, right? So it's not like his brothers. And yet Joseph stayed faithful to God in the midst of all these things that happened to him. So three ways Joseph was faithful to his father, Jacob. First of all, Joseph checked on his brothers. He did what his father asked. His father said, hey, can you go do this? Can you go do that? He went and did that. The second thing I see in this story is Joseph saved Jacob and his family during a famine. So there was a famine that happened in the land, and he provided for his family. He brought them out of Canaan to Egypt. And the third thing that I see Joseph is faithful, at the end of his life, in the story that we read about in Hebrews, he took his father just before that, or not in the story we read in Hebrews, sorry. Jacob asked him, hey, would you bury me back in the land of Canaan? And Joseph did that. He said, I'll take you back there. And he did that. He was faithful to his father, to his last request. Are we so different from Joseph? If our parents ask us to help them, do we do our best to help them? Do we care for our parents in their times of need? Kids, are you faithful to supporting your parents' requests of you? I see a couple of younger kids in here, and so I got a story for you. This last week, at the beginning of the week, my wife and I got sick first thing, and so we were up all night feeling sick, and in the morning, we were literally just laying in bed, my wife and I, both of us sick at the same time, which doesn't happen very often. It's usually we take turns, right? We were both sick, and so we're laying in bed, and the kids are kind of dueling around, watching some TV, doing different things, and my oldest son comes up, and I say, I'm like, hey, buddy, do you think you can make Mr. Noodles for everybody? He's like, Yeah, I can do that. So he boils the water, makes Mr. Noodle. And to me, when I think about it, I'm like, my son was being faithful to me and my wife. He was supporting the family and doing what he could to be faithful to us. I had a simple request to him, and he's like, yeah, I can do that for you. I think faithfulness starts with just simple things, simple requests saying, I'm going to be faithful in the little things, and it makes it way easy to be faithful in the big things. When we're doing the right things, the next right step, the next thing forward, then it's easy to say, okay, now I can do the next big thing. Maybe one day as your parents got old or are getting a little older, you'll have to provide for them a place to live, bring them from wherever they are to another place. Maybe you have to teach your parents how to use cell phones, computers, support them when they ask. I know my kids have had to show me some things, right? Maybe if your parents have passed away, have you honored their last best wishes as best as you possibly can? These were all ways that Joseph honored his father. And we're called to do the same thing. One story past Joseph is Moses, and one of the Ten Commandments is found in Exodus 12 or 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land and the Lord your God is giving you. This is the first command with a promise, right? It's that promise like that God will give us a blessing when we honor our parents. And I think it's so important that we do that. Can you be faithful to their memory, to what they would have wanted for your life? Can you be faithful to your parents? So now, by a show of hands, would you say, by God's grace and with God's strength, am I or was I, can I be, is this my desire to be faithful to your parents? Is that you today? I hope so. I hope that you desire to be faithful to your parents. Thanks. One of my favorite leaders to listen to asked this question, and I want to ask it for you today. Are there any influencers in the room today? Put your hand up if, by God's grace and with God's strength, you describe yourself as an influencer. Maybe one or two. Okay, yeah, I see. That's awesome. Awesome, okay. This is the second place where we see Joseph's faithfulness. The second way Joseph stayed faithful was in leadership. You might be thinking, oh, good for him. He was a leader. I'm not a leader. I want to remind you today that leadership is actually influence. And you have influence. God has called you to be a leader in the areas of influence you have. I mean influence today, and I kind of did this sneakily, because influencers in maybe today's lingo have become like social media influencers, where they have like a big following and they influence people, but that's not the kind of influence that I'm talking about today. Every time you encourage someone to show love towards someone, it influences their teachers. If you're a teacher, you are an influencer. Coaches are influencers. Parents are influencers. All the study, all the research, I was a youth worker for many, many years. All the research says that parents are still the most influential people in the life of their kids. Grandparents, you are influencers, and the Holy Spirit influences our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us to take all that God has given us, our gifts, experiences, passions, knowledge and set them to work bringing glory to Christ in the church and in the world. This is leadership, using what God is giving us to influence others towards Jesus. This is faithful leadership, using our influence to help other people. The story of Joseph goes from Joseph checking on his brothers at his father's request to his brothers selling Joseph into slavery because they hated him, right? And then they told his father that he's dead. And you think you have famine problems. Joseph starts to work as a slave in Egypt at a home called Potiphar's home. Potiphar was one of Pharaoh's officials, and Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, and so a very significant place for Joseph to be. Let's turn back into our Bibles, Genesis 39, verse 2. Genesis 39, verse 2 to 6, we're going to read. Page 37, if you're in these books. Anyways, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer of his house, over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for the sake of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in house and in field. Joseph started out as a faithful leader, as a slave. God used Joseph and his influence to become the leader of the household. In our day, it would be like a butler. Joseph faithfully served Potiphar's house as a butler to say, oh, what job do you have? Do you faithfully serve God as a butler in this spot? And each of us, we have different jobs. Do you faithfully serve God wherever you are? I remember when I was younger, you would do certain jobs and nobody would know if you're actually working or not, right? And I would try to think of Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Because I was trying to work and I would encourage you to work for God, because he sees you no matter what, and he will honor you in your work. If you're doing it for God, say, God, I want to do the best I can because you're the one that's watching me. Joseph must have been taught by his father and mother or somewhere not to covet or not to covet another man's wife, because handsome Joseph was propositioned by his master's wife. Joseph knew he needed to honor God with his sexuality and chose not to have sex with his master's wife, even though she was trying to get him to. Come to bed with me, she kept saying. You know, Joseph predated the Ten Commandments, and yet there was something in which Joseph, he's like, no, I know this is wrong. I should not do this. Then Joseph was put in jail because Potiphar's wife lied, saying Joseph tried to have sex with her. Then we see a transition happen. Joseph gets into jail, and all of a sudden he's in jail, and then he starts to use his influence in jail. He starts to lead in jail. He becomes a faithful leader in prison. Joseph was thrown in the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was stuck there. And this is what happened. So flip now to Genesis 39, verse 20. Story continues on. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him a favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Joseph was a faithful leader in jail, and the prison warden put in charge of everything. Joseph used his influence to become the head of the jail. I would guess him leading a household as a butler was a small group of people, and then now becoming the leader in a prison, his influence was growing and developing. I was chatting with this about this sermon with one of the guys from my work. I run a not-for-profit called Bridges to New Life Society. And he was telling me about that, and he's like, oh, that's the way prisons work now. I'm like, oh, it is? And so we were talking, and I'm like, well, why don't you just, I just made a little video, and he can just tell you how current day prisons work. And so check this out.
While I was in prison, we had a hierarchy. We had a unit. Each prison has units.
And on those units are ranges. And on the ranges, there are range reps. And those range reps report to the IWC, or the Inmate Welfare Committee. And they discuss things with the president of the IWC. And the president will either go to the warden or to the guards, depending on what the issue is. When the warden has an issue, he comes to the president, and the president goes to the range reps, and the range reps come to us and let us know what's going on. The president is always a lifer, somebody who's never going to get out of prison, just so they have that continuity. The range reps are literally the people on the range that inmates go to if there's an issue, either with the guards or with another inmate. And that's the hierarchy of the prison.
I've only been doing my job for just about 2 years, and so I always find those little tidbits interesting. And then when I think about this story, I'm like, I wonder if that's kind of what Joseph was like. And we don't know, I don't have any more information than what we have here in the Bible, but maybe that started with a guy like Joseph, where it's like, oh, they had somebody in charge of the prison that was an inmate, a lifer, somebody who wasn't going to get out of prison, and he was the one that was in charge. He was the Inmate Welfare Committee leader. Joseph was the guy, and he's like everybody, and he must have had a significant amount of influence and leadership, but how does he get that? How did he get to that point? He trusted God, and God used him in that place. His influence and leadership was growing. Joseph had long obedience, even when he was not in the limelight. We know that Joseph was sold into slavery when he was 17, Genesis 37, verse 2. And then he got out of jail when he was 30, Genesis 41, 46. That's 13 years in long obedience, learning lots of lessons until he was no longer a slave in prison. It's a reminder for me, and I hope that serves as a reminder for you. You know, some blessings only come in the midst of suffering. Some of the hardest leadership lessons you will learn come through hard things, come through mistakes that we make. But God wants to use you in different things. God wants to take those lessons you've learned and allow you to use those in influence and leadership, right? To help other people that come behind you, to support other people. What is God teaching you these days, and how can you take that learning to help other people? How can you take that and influence other people so that they won't get stuck in the same mistakes or do the same things? What is God teaching you these days? So then it kind of begs the question, how did Joseph get out of jail? I'm glad you asked. One day the king's baker and cupbearer were put in prison, and Joseph interpreted their dreams correctly. He interpreted the dream that the cupbearer would be restored again to service and to the king of the Pharaoh, and the chief baker would be killed, and it came true. Then one day Pharaoh had a dream about flourishing and famine, which Joseph also interpreted, and that came true. The leadership lessons learned as the head of the home, as a butler, then the president of the jail as the head inmate, provided leadership tools he needed to actually lead all of Egypt. Reminds me of the parable of the talents, where the faithful were given a little bit and expected to take it and grow it, right? And then God adds blessing and responsibility and opportunity. Because of Joseph's interpretation of the king's dream, Joseph led all of Egypt. Turn with me in Genesis 41, verse 39. Genesis 41, verse 39 to 40. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to the throne will I be greater to you." It's pretty amazing. So this is what Joseph does. He says, okay, there's going to be the dream that he predicts is that there's going to be a famine, but there's first going to be these 7 great years. And so Joseph takes care of the nation for 7 years, and then during the famine, he starts to like give out the food. He's like, okay, this is the interpreter of the dream, and he orders everything and takes care of things. And then during the famine, Joseph's family back at Canaan also were in famine, and they needed food. So Joseph's brothers came to Joseph to get food, only they didn't recognize him. Turns out Joseph's brothers did bow down to him, as he predicted earlier in his dream. Then Joseph was able to save them from the famine, and Joseph's father and his whole family moved to Egypt during the famine and did not leave, using his influence in Egypt to save his family. This is leadership. Using the influence we have to support others, to make a difference in others, influencing them towards Christ, towards the good. Not standing by and letting others do it. Being a man or woman who influences other people. Being a man who influences your families towards Christ. Being a woman who influences her husband, encourages his leadership in his family. Being a woman who influences her kids. Being a son or daughter who influences their brothers and sisters, friends, and maybe even the parents. Using all of our influence to take all that God has given us, our gifts, experiences, passions, knowledge, and set them to work, bringing glory to Christ in the church and in the world. By God's grace and in his strength, by show of hands now, how many influencers do we have in the room today? That's right. How many, with God's grace and strength, desire to be influencers today? That's what God calls us to do today, is to be an influencer. That's what God wants of us, to say, I'm going to use my talents, my gifts and abilities. I'm going to influence other people towards the gospel. The third way Joseph stayed faithful was in finishing well. You look at these stories that I've been telling. Joseph first finished his first job as a butler by having integrity and was thrown in jail for it. Joseph finished his job as a prisoner in charge of the prison or president of the inmate committee by getting a job from Pharaoh. Joseph finished his life by trusting God for the future. And at the end of each of his life's roles, it could be said of Joseph, well done, good and faithful servant. Another way Joseph finished well was with his brothers. Not only does Joseph help his family, another way which Joseph was faithful was by forgiving his brothers. I believe Joseph had already forgiven his brothers, but they lied and said that the lasting wish of their father Jacob was that Joseph would forgive his brothers. To this Joseph said, if you want to turn with me in Genesis 50, verse 19 to 20, that's what he said. Genesis 50, verse 19, but Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I'll provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. How important is it for us to forgive others? You know, Jesus said right after he taught his disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15, it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Are there people who tried to kill you, sold you into slavery, took your money, broke into your house, maybe stole your bike? Whatever it is that have been taken from you, whatever it is that, like, whatever's happened to you, are you willing, are you able to forgive? If Joseph was able to forgive his brothers, I think that we can forgive other people. As we're all getting a little older each day, we need to live remembering that one day we will go home to be with our Father in heaven. No matter what age you are, God wants to use you to make great impact. As I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking about the end of life, coming to the end of life, and I've been wanting to read this book by Billy Graham called Nearing Home. He wrote it when he was 93 years old, and I used it as a bit of an excuse over the last few weeks, read through it. Joseph was nearing home, and Hebrews 11:22 talks about how he was faithful to the end. Joseph at the end of his life. The thing which caught my attention, which pertains to us today, was maybe a lack of respect, I think, that we have at times for the elderly. This was not once what it was. And how many examples we have of men and women as reading through this book who God used late in life, often with great impact. Last week, Meldon talked about Enoch's godly example influenced his son Methuselah and his great-grandson Noah. Abraham was 75 when God first called him. Abram was 100 when his son Isaac was born. Moses was 88 when he called him to leave the Sinai Desert and return to Egypt to free God's people. Joshua, Moses' successor, was 80 when God gave him the responsibility of leading the people into the promised land and led there until he died at 110. John the Baptist's parents were described as, "I'm old man, and my wife is well along in years." The Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation while imprisoned for his faith on an isolated island of Patmos. At the time, he would have been in his 90s. Lest you think you get off if you're around my age and you're 40s or 50s, or really young, Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And I was actually reminded of a story. I have a friend who, when he was a kid, he started going to church. His mom sent him to church with his sister, and he led his whole family to Christ as a teenager. Kids, maybe you're here today, you need to wake up your dad on Sunday mornings, drag him to church, or say, "Mom, put your phone away. Let's get to church today. Let's go." Right? Whatever it is, we're called to support other people, to use our influence to help other people. Billy Graham, in this, maybe we'll just pray. I think, is it 10:02? Oh, yeah. We have this little tradition at 10:02 sometimes we just pray for the Lord of the harvest. So maybe just pray with me. If you're new to us, this is kind of one of our little traditions that we do. So, God, thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest and that you want to send us into your harvest field to make a difference, to use our influence to serve and to lead other people into relationship with you. And so we just ask this morning that you would do that. Thank you that you love us, that you are the Lord of the harvest. So we just give this rest of our time to you, that you would speak to our hearts and minds as we conclude today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In his book, Billy Graham, this is one of the things that he said that stuck out to me. The Bible is dotted with other examples of individuals who were used by God in their later years. Men and women who refused to use old age as an excuse to ignore what God wanted them to do. I love that. Joseph was nearing home when he said, "God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land." Joseph was looking forward to a coming hope. Joseph was setting direction for those who came behind him. Joseph was setting a picture of the future for his people, which would lead them to the promised land. For this, Hebrews 11:22 says, "By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the Exodus and the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones." The first way Joseph was faithful was by honoring his father. The second was by being faithful in leadership. And the third was being faithful to finish well. So again, by a show of hands, how many would describe you that by God's grace and with his strength, you have a track record of finishing well? Is that you today, that you seek to have a track record to finish well? I hope that's you today. I hope that that's what you want. Joseph died in Egypt and said, "I want to be brought back to the land of Canaan," and referenced the Exodus out of Egypt. We land today where we took off. Hebrews 11:22. At the end of his life, he wanted to give something to the people. He wanted to say, "I want to picture a future for you." Ordinary people and an extraordinary God. Where am I being faithful, and where do I need to grow in my faithfulness? You see faith at the beginning of Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Joseph said, Genesis 50:20-21, "And what you intended for evil, God used for good." Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his good purpose." I was taking notes over the last couple weeks, and there's a few things that I want to remind you of that Meldon said that I'm like, "Oh, these are gems." Things that I think we need to kind of hold on to, some foundational truths when it comes to faith. Faith is a God-given ability to trust a future God has promised for us in his word. Faith is living in absolute confidence in what God has said, even when the fullness of the promise is not yet seen. even when you're in jail, even when you're going through hard things and you don't know what God's got for you, living saying, okay, God's got something for me. I believe God has something for me. I believe he wants to use me. Faith is a decisive act and a sustained attitude. 17 years he was a slave in jail. Sustained attitude. Faith is believing something to be true simply because God said it, then believe it, and that's good enough for me. I had this topic of Joseph, and I was running with it. Then something struck me about Joseph as I read and reread the story. How do we move forward in faithfulness to God? I think we start actually by realizing God is faithful. Not only was Joseph faithful to God, we serve a faithful God. God is faithful to us. Let me read these. Genesis 39, verse 2. There's a few passages. The Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph. He, God, showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Genesis 39, 23. The Lord was with him, with Joseph. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Genesis 41, 16. It's not me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Genesis 45, 9. God has made the Lord of all Egypt. Genesis 50, 24. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land. God did it. God was faithful. God was faithful. God was faithful. You can trust God will be faithful to you. At the end of the day, we serve a faithful God. It's way easier to be faithful when they're faithful to us. God's faithful, and we can trust his faithfulness. God is with you, and he will prove himself faithful to you. At the beginning, I asked, how many would describe yourselves as faithful? How about now? Again, by show of hands, by God's grace and with God's help, how many of you desire to be faithful? Take a look around for a second. This is us. This is our church, a group of people just trying to be faithful to God, trying to say, okay, God, I'm going to be faithful to you and everything. And that's us as community, being community, going out into this community, faithfully serving God wherever God's got us, whatever place he's put us in, serving a faithful God, desiring to be faithful. Interesting to note, in all of the recorded Old Testament leaders, we readily know Joseph is the only leader where there's no recorded sin. Don't get me wrong, I believe that Joseph sinned for sure. Yet this is a picture of Jesus. This is an example of what Christ came and fulfilled. What was Joseph looking toward? Jesus, a long-awaited redeemer of Israel. Jesus came and fulfilled the way to God. My question for you today is, do you know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way to faithfulness to God is through Jesus. There's no better time than today to be faithful to God. 2 Corinthians 6, 2 says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Would you bow your heads as we close? I just want to take a moment for you to think about this. The band can come up and find their places. Please bow your heads and take a moment just to reflect. This is a time of personal reflection. So with your eyes closed, I want you to pretend with me for a moment. Today is your last day on earth. You're hooked up to machines. You can feel your life slipping away. Teens, young adults, maybe you've not been struck by tragedy of someone your age, but death is not just for the old. Just imagine today you're in the hospital, just about to die. What would you miss? Holding the hand of a loved one, laughing with friends. What would you miss? Plans that you have, seeing a child or grandchild graduate or get married, saying goodbye to your parents. Any day could be our last day. But nearing home, nearing heaven, is something to look forward to. Heaven is the hope that we have. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. Christ will come and defeat the forces of evil and establish a supreme authority over creation. In heaven, we will see loved ones. Just like Jesus recognized Moses and Elijah, we will recognize people. We will live in heavenly worship. Now pretend with your eyes closed and your heads bound. Pretend all life comes back to you. Pretend all of a sudden, like, oh, I have some more days. How will you live differently today, knowing that today might be your last day? What sins do you need to confess before God? Are you faithful to God like He's faithful to you? Are you being a faithful influencer? Are you using your leadership in service of others? Are you seeking to finish well? Father in heaven, thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. And I pray right now, if there's somebody that doesn't know you in this room, that they would confess their sins before you right now. That they would say, I need you. You are faithful. I want to know you. Father in heaven, help us to forgive. Help us to forgive those who have hurt us. Help us to be askers of forgiveness. Use our influence in the knowledge that you have given us leadership, have given us influence. Help us to influence others and help us to persevere, to finish well. By your grace and with your help, we desire to be your faithful people. Help us as we take communion today. May this be our heartfelt desire to serve you. God, we want to serve you. May you examine our hearts, God, that we might be right before you, and then we can go from this place. And just like as we looked around with hands up, that we can go and use our influence in the service of others, that we can go and be faithful. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.